Let's look this morning in the word of the Lord in the book of Psalms in chapter 92. Psalms 92, I want to just read a couple of verses of scripture this morning. And most often I will take a portion of scripture and preach through that portion of scripture and show you maybe a few things about that portion of scripture and a few things about those things. Sometimes we will take a portion of scripture and put it up on the examining table and dissect it, tear it apart, and look at the pieces of it. That's called textual preaching. That's what that's called. Sometimes you'll hear it used in different other terms or other names, but textual preaching. And then there is what's called topical preaching. That is where you take some portion of scripture and maybe the topic that is found in it, and then share things about that topic from the word of the Lord that may be in that verse of scripture or in other places throughout the Bible as well. And then most often our preaching is in some way both textual and topical. And so it will take both it will involve both the exegesis of that portion of scripture, word for the day, Brother Randy, exegesis. And it will involve both the production of truths drawn from and directly from that very portion of scripture. That's what exegesis is. And to draw those truths directly from that portion of scripture. But it will also then involve comparative portions of scripture. For the Bible does say that no scripture is given by private interpretation. But that holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is, one verse of scripture will correspond with or agree with and support another verse of scripture. The Bible said it this way in the book of Isaiah, that we are given the word of the Lord by revelation, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. That is the revelation of the Lord. That's how he works. Amen. And this word of God operates that way. I say that to say this morning, I will not remain. Usually I will tell you, let's look at this verse of scripture, these verses. I'll remain in this text for the entirety of the message. I'll not say that this morning, for I'll not remain in this portion. But as Brother Pace would say sometimes, I want us to read here to get us a starting place. And begin to look at some things from the word of the Lord. This is a very simple message this morning, but it is so very important. And I would ask you for a little while to tune in with me this morning. Tune out any distraction that may be on your mind. Amen. And for a little while, the old time preacher man would say, give me your undivided attention. Amen. And that is so important this morning, not because it's me, but because I have a word from the Lord. You've heard the noise of everything else all week long, whether it is the noise of ball games and whether it is the noise of entertainment and shopping, the noise of the family and the turkey at Thanksgiving, and that's great. I'm not opposed to, matter of fact, I'm thankful for all of those kind of things. You've heard the noise of the media, not thankful for that, but you've heard it, the noise of the media and of politics and of world events and concerns and worries. Finances and the demands of life, but for a little while I would invite you to hear the word of the Lord, and it'll be the most important thing that you've listened to all week long. Amen. And I'd ask you to tune in for just a few moments. If you miss it, you'll miss it completely this morning. And here we are with 7 days in a week, and it has been a full week since we've been together in the house of the Lord. And had a great meeting last Sunday morning. We had no Sunday night service, though. And it has been a full week since we've been together in the house of the Lord. We'll meet again tonight at 15 till 6 for prayer and 6 o'clock for the worship service. But we only have one day and that we have set aside unto the Lord. 6 days shalt thou work, and the seventh is unto the Lord. This is the Lord's day. We don't just say that to give it a title, but because we are to give this day unto the Lord. Amen. And this day is not set aside for you to get your scraps of the week done and your things finished that have not been done throughout the week, or for you to do honey-do lists around the house, or to go shopping or fishing or hunting or bowling or golfing, but it is a day unto the Lord. Amen. And we ought to give heed this morning. We're in way too big of a hurry. You say, well, we get out of here late every Sunday, preacher. We are in way too big of a hurry to get out of the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. Amen. This is His day. Why are we in a hurry to run out of here to anywhere? I mean, this is supposed to be His day. And so we need to this morning tune in real good and don't miss anything. While you are here, be here. While you are present, be present this morning and tune in and listen closely to the word of the Lord. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So tune in and let God speak to your soul. I hope this morning it'll be more than words from my mouth, but as it were the oracles of God, which is how we seek to preach and deliver the word of the Lord. If you found your place in Psalm 92 and are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the precious word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 92 and in verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Amen. And I think there are some wonderful phrases in this verse, these verses that we won't spend a lot of specific time in, so I want to mention them as we are reading. First phrase, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Notice not only are we to give thanks, and not only is it good to do so, but that the object of our thanksgiving is to be unto the Lord. It's not just important for what that you give thanks, but to whom that you give thanks. And we are here this morning to glorify the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Verse number 2 talks about showing forth his loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You know when you ought to praise Him, when you ought to thank Him? You ought to do it on Thanksgiving, and then you ought to do it on the day after, and the whole 365 days after that, and you ought to just keep on doing it. And you ought to thank Him in the morning. That's when you ought to thank Him, to show forth the loving kindness in the morning. You ought to thank Him in the morning. And when nighttime comes around, you know what you ought to still be doing? You ought to still be praising the Lord and showing forth His faithfulness every night. You know what night of the week you ought to thank the Lord and praise Him? You ought to do it every Sunday night. You ought to do that. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And every day that ends in Y, you ought to thank the Lord and you ought to praise the Lord. You know what night you ought to glorify God? Every single one of them. You know how often you ought to do it? Whenever you have breath, you ought to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to be thankful this morning and glorify Him. Let us enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We ought to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. You know what the will of God is for your life? And to give thanks unto the Lord. In everything, give thanks. Not in most things, some things, the things you like on Turkey Day. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will. You say, Brother Toby, I'm praying about the will of God in my life. I don't know all of it. I mean, I might not know every detail about the will of God for your life. This much I know. It is the will of God for you to be thankful. It's the will of God for you to be grateful. It's the will of God for you to praise the Lord. I wondered if the Lord would be pleased with me raising my hands and telling Him thank you this morning. I wonder if the Lord would be pleased with me getting excited at the church house and being happy in Jesus and singing out loud and saying amen to the preacher and raising my hand toward heaven. You don't have to wonder about that this morning. I want to tell you on the authority of God's word that it is the will of God for you to give thanks. Well, if I thought the Lord wanted me to this morning, I'd raise my hand and say hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord wants you to. It is His will for you to give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning Brother Randy. Amen. Concerning Brother John. Concerning Brother David. And it is in His will concerning those men. It's His will in Christ Jesus concerning you in your life for you to be thankful here today and tomorrow and every day, every morning, and every night. And so we ought to do it. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Thank you so much for standing with us, reverencing the word of the Lord. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ought to be thankful this morning. You and me. It's a good thing. Our text says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And that is our text and topic for the morning today. I got my text right there from the Bible. What about that? That's a novel idea. I hear lots of preaching today about preachers giving all sorts of topics and titles. And I'm not opposed to that, friend. But I like those titles and texts that come straight from the Bible. I don't mind that some of that other stuff, some fellas though are always so creative and they become extra biblical because of it. They somehow or another get outside the Bible. But brother, I don't know how we're going to get any better than the word of the Lord. And the Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now this is a week that was set apart across our country for a time of reflection, appreciation, recognition, and thanksgiving. We've often spoken of the things we are thankful for, but I think we often forget that true thanksgiving centers around who you are thankful to. Oh, my friend, the source of our blessings is what really matters. The psalmist makes that clear in our text. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Not to give thanks for all that we have. Give it thanks for all of our blessings. That's true. We ought to do that. But what's really good, what's really superb, what is really excellent, what is of really good report is when you learn who to give thanks to. When you learn where the source of your blessings come from. Why a hog is happy when he has acorns to eat. But he never looks up to see the tree the acorns are coming from until he lays flat on his back. How may we be wiser than that? May we learn more than that? May we lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist makes it clear in our text that we are to give thanks unto the Lord. We ought to thank Him for everything, for who He is, for what He does, and for what He has said. It's good to be thankful, to give thanks, and to give it to God, for He is the source of all blessings. That great hymn of the church, some 400 or 500 years old, says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The one we are to be thankful to is the Lord. He is the source of all of our blessings. James chapter 1 verse 17 says it this way, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is, times change, people change, circumstances change, economics change, technology changes, but God never changes. There is no variableness in Him. He's not up and down and in and out. And on and off, friend, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no evidence of where He once was and no longer is. He has not turned away from what He knows to be right, to be true, to be holy, to be just. He's eternal and He's eternally the same. And He's the God from whom all of our blessings flow. And while men are on and off and up and down and in and out, praise God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so let me show you three or four things this morning concerning this matter, it is a good thing. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord. I want to say this morning, it's good that we give thanks to God, for He is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. I thank the Lord that I can trust Him. I mean, I can trust Jesus. You can't trust much in this old world. I sure am glad that I can trust the Lord. I am really slow to trust people. I'm a natural skeptic. But I have found the Lord to be trustworthy, to be totally worthy of my full confidence. He is trustworthy, and we can trust the Lord, my friend, completely. We can trust Him completely, absolutely, entirely, without hesitation. With your whole heart, you can trust Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We can trust the Lord completely, and we do so when we trust Him in salvation. And when a person is saved, is when you quit trying to do it by yourself. It's surrender. It's when you give up. It's when you wave the white flag and say, surrender all. That's some of you this morning that are here that are lost. You know when you'll be saved? When you quit trying to get saved and ask the Lord that He would do the work in your life that you would be saved. Do you realize this Bible never tells us to get saved? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you need to get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't get saved. And my friend, and I'm not picking on folks for using that terminology. I realize when people say, praise the Lord, I got saved, they don't mean that they earned it of themselves. But I'm afraid folks who don't know the Lord may misunderstand. Hey, there is nothing you can do to get saved. There is nothing you can do to become a child of God. And the Lord's not waiting for you to flip some switch or pull some cord or press some button or, Brother Randy, to mash some button. And the Lord is not waiting for you to do something so you can get or earn or buy salvation. But you must trust the Lord. And I'm thankful this morning that you can trust Him that you may be saved. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. And that's how you come to the Lord. That's how you come to salvation, is to trust in the Lord that you may be saved. And I'm thankful He's trustworthy. And we can trust the Lord in salvation. We can completely trust the Lord in the Scripture. And the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth, said Psalm 33:4. As Psalm 119 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As Psalm 119 said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I think that's verse 89. And the word of the Lord teaches us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And then two verses later, I think it is, maybe three verses, is chapter 4. And verse number 1, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, being turned from the truth unto fables. Oh, may the Lord help us. I'm thankful this morning I'm not depending on some fellow with a mitre on his head, wearing a dress like his mother, that does not believe in getting married. For my word from the Lord. But thank God we have a Bible. We have the word of God, and we can trust the scriptures. I'm thankful to have a copy of the word of God and the word of the the Lord is right. May the Lord help us. We can trust the Lord completely. In His scriptures, every verse of it is right. Jesus said not only the verse is right, and not only are the chapters right, not only are the books right, but even the punctuation is right. He said not one jot or tittle of the smallest punctuation in their language, not one jot or tittle shall pass away until it all be fulfilled. All flesh is as grass, and the grass withers, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. You can completely trust the scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's trustworthy. You can trust Him completely. You can trust Him consistently. This is what Psalms 112 and verse 7 says about a good man. It said his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You can trust the Lord consistently. There's not a day, not an hour, not a moment that you cannot trust the Lord. You can not only trust the Lord in the day He saves your soul, but every step between here in glory, you can trust the Lord. He's not just adequate for when you know you need Him. He, my friend, is needed when you don't even know about it. And there's not an hour that we don't need Him. There's not a time that we don't need Him. And my friend, you can trust Him consistently. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. When your heart is broken, trust the Lord. He knows how to fix it. And my friend, when your home is burdened, trust the Lord. And when your health is bleak, trust the Lord. When your hope is battered, trust the Lord. Literally all of the overwhelming chaos of my friend that is in the world could be calmed by men learning that they can simply trust the Lord. You know why people worry and bite their fingernails down into the quick? My friend, listen, it ain't nobody likes that. I mean, nobody likes for your fingernail to be down into the quick. It hurts. I don't care who you are. The reason why that it's called the quick is because that's where it's alive. It's not problematic to clip the end of your fingernails, but you know why people bite it down into the quick and hurt themselves? Worrying about stuff. Worrying about things. Instead of biting your fingernails, pacing the floor, driving nails in your coffin, as Ernest Tubb used to sing about. Instead of all that foolishness, why don't you trust the Lord? Why don't you learn you can trust Him consistently? You know why people worry so much about their finances till they get ulcers in their stomach? Because they've forgotten that He meets all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, take you no thought of what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. For your Father in heaven knoweth you have need of these things. Instead, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. If you'd spend as much time thinking about heavenly things as what you do earthly things, there is no telling how spiritual you'd be. No telling how close of a walk you'd have to God. And the Lord would meet your need in natural things. He supplies all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can trust the Lord consistently. You know why your rocking chair's worn out? And your front porch needs all the boards replaced? Where you've gone back and forth on that rocking chair, worrying about everything? Because you need to trust the Lord consistently. Hey, you know why your hair's turned loose, turned gray, turned out? Hey, because of worry and frustration. And my friend, instead of giving your problems to the Lord, hey, you have worry. Worried and fretted over them. And that Jesus told us not to do that, but to trust Him, to believe in Him, to count on Him, and to seek after Him. How do you realize that the birds of the air, and my friend, He feeds them every day? How do you realize the flowers of the field, and that the Lord addresses them? And if the Lord will dress a flower and feed the fowls, are you not much better than a flower? Are you not much better than the fowl of the air? If He sees every sparrow that falls from the sky, do you think He will not look after you and your family? Hey, He will meet your needs, and you can trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. We ought to give thanks unto the Lord that He's trustworthy. We can trust Him completely. We can trust Him consistently. We can trust Him cheerfully. I'm glad that I trust the Lord. I mean, I'm happy about that thing. I don't have to. You see, I'm a person that has always, I mean, since I was just a little bitty fella, I have always had a strong sense of responsibility. I've always kind of felt like that anything around me, I rest on my shoulders, and I don't want to let people down. I don't want to fall through. I don't want to fail all the things that are important. When I was just a little boy, my daddy worked build bridges, and he'd go out of town and work out of town, and he'd tell me before he'd get to, he'd be packing up that duffel bag and putting up all his work clothes and getting ready to head out of town early, early, early in the morning on Monday morning. At 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd leave out. How many times not come in until close to midnight on Friday night? A limited time that he'd be at home. And I was the middle child. Tanya is much older than what I am. And then Tessa is younger than me. And my daddy would call me in there even though I was not the oldest. Just a little boy, he'd be packing up his stuff. And he'd say, son, I'm going to be gone to Friday now. And you're going to be the man of the house. He probably did this to build me up, to try to give me confidence, and to try to give me some sense of responsibility. But I took that matter very seriously. I mean, it's just a child, way too seriously a lot of times. That's just a child. Tanya started school, and here I was, much, 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 much younger than her. And yet she started school, and she rode the school bus. And here I was, wasn't even old enough to go to school. And I'd put on a little jacket that had it looked like an army shirt and had stripes on my sleeve, and I felt like a military officer. And I'd get out in the morning and walk her to the school bus and stand there at the road and wait till she got on the bus to make sure she was all right. And then I'd walk back to the house on the driveway by myself. I took that thing seriously. I was not waist high to my mom, but we'd build a fire in that old wood stove, and I'd tell her, now don't get the big wood. I'm the man of the house. I'll take care of that. She could pick me up and tow me around. But I felt a sense of responsibility. And then I got to be a grown man. We got married. Sonia was 17 and I was 18. And she was 17 going on 14. And I was 18 going on 40. And I felt a sense of responsibility. I'm the man of the house. I'd always slept well at night. Then we got married. And I didn't sleep well anymore. I felt like if anything went wrong, hey, if anything tore up, if anybody broke in, this is my house and I'm responsible. And responsibility is way heavy on my life. When the Lord called me to preach, I was 13 years old. That's a big responsibility that put on the heart and on the life of a young teenage boy. But I took that matter very seriously. And I had other buddies of mine that were preacher boys. Some of them surely much better at preaching than what I was. But most of them did not take this responsibility nearly as seriously as what I did. And some of the young people didn't like that. Some of the ones I went to school with, they, I liked my buddies, you know, when they preached, because they just didn't take it all so serious. But when I preached, they said it just goes too far. He's just a fanatic. He just goes overboard. It's because I realize how serious this thing of eternity really is. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I don't have the broadest shoulders in the world, and I feel like the weight of all of planet Earth is resting upon me. And I'm so, so very thankful that I can go to the Lord and give Him my burden and give Him my cares. And I realize it's not all depending on me. It's all depending on the Lord. I can trust Him. I'm so thankful I've got a place to lean. I've got somebody to prop up on. I've got somebody that's responsible for me, that's looking out for me, that's taking good care of me. And I can trust in the Lord. My soul rejoices in that this morning.
Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I mean, friend, I have joy and peace in believing. That is where my joy and my peace is. How with joy you can smile and trust Him. While your things are depressing in life, how cheerfully you can sing and trust Him when things are dark in life. The Lord expects us to trust Him. The song says, "Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now." You can trust and obey, friend, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hallelujah. Give thanks to God, for He is trustworthy. Amen. Secondly, this morning, let us offer our thanks to God because He is true. I praise Him that He's trustworthy. But I thank Him because He's true. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, friend, how you think about it, whether you're aware of it or not. But we're living in a world full of lies. We're living in a world full of falsehoods. I mean, Wolf Blitzer, CNN, Rachel Maddow, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBS, NBC, ABS, all of them. IBS, all of them. And some of you who's had colon problems know what IBS is. All of them, friend, they're lying to you. They control the narrative in this thing. Do you not realize? Listen, I'm not belittling anything. Some of these days, God's going to give me liberty. I've got full length, at least hour and a half, 2 hours worth of preaching that I need to do about Babylon drugs and the end of the world. I've been studying on it now for almost 2 years. And that the Lord, I mean, just before this pandemic stuff hit, just before this coronavirus became known. Matter of fact, it was probably while it was incubating in a lab in Wuhan, funded by your tax dollars and mine, and overseen by the fiend, the devil, my friend, that is the head of the NIAID, Dr. Fauci, while he was funding the research to produce, my friend, this coronavirus in Wuhan in a laboratory. And I'm not accusing it of being purposeful, my friend, but just them of being pathetic. And my friend, then have been liars about everything since then. And been profiting on their lies. And tarred and feathering would be merciful. And my friend, for all of that crowd, that's exactly right. Publicly, tarring and feathering them would be an act of mercy and grace. And one of these days, God's going to give me liberty to preach on that out of Revelation in the chapter number 18. But my friend, do you realize that just about the time, any time, that you actually have a good day, or that we have nationally anything good happening for the last 2 stinking years, that if you enjoy anything, happy about anything, my friend, in any way, it doesn't matter if it's a Thanksgiving, a Christmas, a 4th of July, my friend, anything except for a BLM riot, there is an emergency of health that will arise in the news. And now if it's a BLM riot or some Antifa riot where they want to burn down people's private businesses and set folks and trash cans on fire, then, well, you know, it's all right. But if it's you want to get together with your family and praise the Lord for His blessings on you, then you need to be real scared, and you need to be real worried, and you need to be really afraid. I am not diminishing the reality of sickness. We have seen it. I know that. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably worse than what most folks think it really is. And I'm certain it was engineered by the Chinese scientists in a lab that we paid for. I just want to say that one more time. And therefore, I think it's a serious matter. But the reason why NBC, ABC, CBS, Dr. Fauci, and all the rest of them devils, every time you have a Thanksgiving or a Christmas or a 4th of July or a Memorial Day or an Easter, my friend, the reason they rear up their ugly head and tell you don't go to Easter sunrise service is not because they're concerned about a virus. It's because they're full of the devil and the spirit of the age runs them and ruins them. Oh, yes, that's exactly right. And you better not trust that crowd. You better trust in the Lord. Only trust in the Lord. I don't know what's true, friend. I don't know everything that's true. I listen to all the talking heads and I wonder if anything any of them say is true. I read so many papers and have so many scientific journals and so many things about the news of the day that all claim to be factual, and yet they conflict one with another. There are those who testified against Jesus. Their word does not agree, and I don't know what's true. I listen to politicians and I'm convinced every one of them's lying. I mean, it just is a question of what direction their lies slanted in. And I wonder if anything in the whole world is true. But I'm reminded He's true. I'm reminded the Lord is true. And when Pilate said, "What is truth?" I stood before Him that day, the way, the truth, and the life. I thank the Lord this morning that I know the truth. I know the truth, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The universities are lying daily. Amen. World Economic Forum. The boneheads meeting across the world to discuss climate change and other global initiatives designed, my friend, to supposedly save the planet when it's really designed to fill their pockets. If they were serious about saving the planet, all them lunatics would not have jumped on their private planes to fly to the summit where they're talking about shutting down fossil fuel use. And we're so stupid we still listen to them. John Kerry and the like. Again, Tom and feathering would be merciful. God have mercy on our souls. Oh, may the Lord help us. I'm just saying to you, friend, most of what you hear is just not true. It is filtered through this world of Google and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Amazon web services filter out what you are allowed to see and to know and shut down any dissent speech, and that's not conspiracy, that is fact. And I don't know what all is true, but I'm telling you, not everything you hear is true. And I'm telling you, we're being fed and regurgitated lies on a daily basis in this public. Many a preacher will stand before his church today and he'll say things that he says came from God, and yet they will not be true. But I want to tell you something you can take to the eternal bank in heaven, and Jesus is true, and Jesus is right, and Jesus has never been wrong. You can believe His Bible. You can trust His Word. You can have confidence in His life. Thank God Jesus is true. Be true means you're real. It means you're honest. It means you're faithful. I know one that is fully and completely meeting this measure, and He is true. Thank God He's faithful and true in His goodness. As Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth all generations. Oh, He's been good to give me love. He's been good to give me life. Matter of fact, He ain't never done me nothing but good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God He's faithful and true in His goodness. You realize the Lord has never been bad. He's good. We know He's good because He's never been nothing but good. Hallelujah. Thank God He's faithful and true in His greatness. Psalm 145 and verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." You've not found the outer limits of the vastness of the greatness of God. He's bigger than your imaginations of Him. He's bigger than your explanations of Him. He's bigger than our homilies. Describe another word of the day, Brother Randy. Homily. Not hominy, that's corn. Homily is a sermon. He's bigger than our sermons can describe. I mean, friend, we've not found the vastness of the greatness of God. We've not explored the outer limits of the vastness of our great Lord. He's bigger than you can fathom that He is. God is so great that He's taken my failures and done great things. God is so great that He's taken my faith and done great things. God is so great He's taken my little family and He's done great things. I mean, I've got plenty to praise Him and thank Him for because of His greatness towards me. Thank God that He is true in His goodness and true in His greatness and He's true in His grace. I mean, He's proven to be true and faithful by giving me salvation through His grace, strength through His grace. Oh, how we need to thank Him and praise Him for being a true and faithful friend.
Amen.
Praise God for His grace. Being my Savior and being my Lord. I'm going to make it to heaven, Brother John. I won't be able to stand up there before the Lord and beat my chest and scream like Tarzan. And say, "Look how good I am, and I made it because I'm so awesome." But I'll stand before the Lord with my head bowed and humbly speak the truth. I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let us offer thanks because He's trustworthy. He's true.
Yes, sir.
And then thirdly this morning, let us offer thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord because He's thoughtful. He's thoughtful. I mean, Psalms 40 and 17, Gracie, the Bible says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Hallelujah. "Thou art my help and my deliverer." How many, did you know the Lord is always thinking about you? Did you know He can't get you off His mind? Did you know that God has you on His mind right now? Did you know there's never been a moment when God has not been thinking about you? He's always had you on His mind. I'm thankful that He thinks about our souls. I mean, the Lord cares about my soul. I said, little Julia was telling me that earlier this week, all about Mark chapter number 8. You know that portion of scripture where the Bible says, have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. And to come and follow Jesus, He said, you'll have treasure in heaven. And He said, for if a man shall lose his life, he shall save it. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And then He said, for what is the profit of a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then Julia told me how valuable my soul is and how important it is to the Lord. Now, God cares about my soul. Did you know God thinks about your soul this morning? And God knows about your soul. He wants your soul to be saved. That's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but that is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wants your soul to be saved. And then not only that, He wants your soul to be spirit-filled. I mean, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He says, "But be ye filled with the Spirit." This is the will of God. And that is the will of the Lord, for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be spirit filled. And that's the will of God for your soul. He thinks about your soul this morning. Now, to be spirit filled, your soul has to be clean and close. Close to the Spirit, close to the Scripture, close to the Savior. And when you are Spirit-filled, you'll be thankful. And you'll sing unto the Lord. Some of you don't have a hard time singing because you're not musically inclined. You have a hard time singing because you're not spiritually inclined. Everybody get that? Some of you don't have a hard time singing because you're not musically inclined. That's not your problem. You have a hard time singing because you're not spiritually inclined. That is your problem. And this morning what we ought to do is be thankful that the Lord is mindful of us. What is man thou art mindful of him, the Son of Man thou visitest him? That's Psalms chapter 8, verse number 3. I'm glad he thinks about our souls. And then I want to say I'm thankful that he thinks about our supplies. I mean, I'm glad God's thinking about us. Did you know when you're hungry, Jesus is aware and he cares? Did you know when you have a need, the Lord is fully aware and he cares? He supplies me with everything that is needful in my life. Every need he supplies, every moment satisfied. Every time I call his name, I find he's just the same. So if you go out on a limb, how you can put your trust in him? Oh, praise God, hallelujah. I'm telling you, he supplies me with everything that's necessary. He supplies me with everything that is needful. And we ought to thank him and we ought to praise him for being so thoughtful to supply us with all that he's given unto us.
Yes, sir.
Did you realize this morning that inflation has not diminished the heavenly dollar?
Amen.
It may cost twice as much to buy a T-bone as what it did a year and a half ago. 2 years ago, friend. My friend, making your dollar worth half as much. It may cost, my friend, a lot more to buy a gallon of gas than it did a couple of years ago. Making your dollar worth way less. It may cost a lot more to buy an automobile than what it did a couple of years ago. Making your dollar worth a lot less. But the heavenly dollar has not been diminished in value even 1 cent by inflation. God is rich in faith and hope and love, and he's my heavenly Father, and he supplies all of our needs. God supplying our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God experiences no shortages on anything. He's not waiting on a Chinese boat to show up to meet the needs of your life.
Amen,
friend. He's not waiting for a truck driver to show up on the job or someone to stop the shales. He's not waiting for some pot smoker to get off his high so he can come into work. My friend, so you might be able to buy something from the shelf of the store. God knows how to supply your need in extraordinary ways. Fact of the matter is, our problem is not our great need. Our problem is that we're unaware of our great abundance. We're ungrateful for what we do have. I'm thankful that he thinks about our supplies. He thinks about our souls. He thinks about our sorrows. Did you know God still cares about your problems this morning? God cares about our pain. God cares about our pressures. God cares about our peace. God has never let one of his children down during their sorrows. And he's not going to start with you. You know what Isaiah 53 and 3 said about him? It said he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You realize Jesus knows what you're going through? You know what the Bible said about him in the next verse, in verse number 3? It said about that man of sorrows acquainted with grief. He said, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know why he's a man of sorrows? You know why he's acquainted with grief? Because he's carrying our sorrows. He's carrying our griefs. He's burdened with what burdens us. He knows what you're going through. And when your back aches, God is aware. When your head hurts, Brother John, and your wife I won't leave you alone. How like you told us about in Sunday school this morning, and I would have thought more of her than that. How my friend God is aware and he cares. How when you struggle, when weakness sets in, when you think you can't, God knows.
Amen.
When you try to get up, and then you try again, and you try a third time and finally make it. Some of y'all did that on Thursday after you got done eating, didn't you? And it's hard. God knows about it. When you lay in the bed at night and things you didn't even know you had ache and hurt and wake you up in the middle of the night. There's a few people knows what I'm talking about. You realize God's not sitting up in heaven picking his fingernails and reading the newspaper. He's instead concerned about what's concerning you. We all thank the Lord that he thinks about us. My little great-granny, or my little granny Hicks, one from Germany, Irma, Elsbeth, Gertrude, Vindorf Hicks. She'd remind us of that. And she would tell us, you know, they'll be forgetting about us old folkses. You remember us. Remember us, she would say. You will not be forgetting about us old folkses. You will remember us. She said, don't forget. You remember us. Be thinking about us old folkses. It really comforted her to know that the people who loved her had her on her mind. Now, ultimately, it comforted her because she knew her family was folks who knew the Lord and they were saved. And she knew if we were remembering her, we were also praying for her. And she knew that would be the case. But I'm going to tell you what really comforted her. As she sat on her bed down there in the memory care unit in Carrollton, in that nursing home, and she didn't recognize the other people in there at halftime, didn't recognize her family, had to sit and stare out the window and not remember where she was, had not even remember what year she was living in, sometimes living in multiple decades at the same time, confused about all of the details, and yet she'd sing, near the cross, be my glory ever. And she says, son, you always remember, if you stay near the foot of the cross, the good Lord will always remember you. He will never forget you. She said, your mom and daddy, your grandma and grandpa, your friends and your neighbors, they may forget you, but the good Lord will remember you when you feel like the whole world's forgotten you. Nobody cares. Nobody's thinking about you. You can thank God the Lord has you on his mind. I'm thankful he's thinking about us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I got to quit with this. The Lord is truthful. I thank him that he's thinking about me. And I thank him that he's true. And I thank him that he's trustworthy. But I'm thankful that he's truthful. You see, John 8:32 said, and you should know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Not only is the Lord the truth, but he is truthful with us. You realize the Lord won't lie to you. Only the Lord is truthful enough to tell you that you're a sinner. I don't want to be mean to you mamas, but your mama may say to you, you're a good boy, a good little girl. You're not like those others. You're a good boy. You're a good girl. She only says that because of wishful thinking. She's telling you that because she wants you to be a good boy or a good little girl. And if mom will be honest with herself, hey, you're made out of the same stuff mama's made out of. And that means that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord don't tell you you're a good boy. You're a good girl. You're okay as you are. Oh, you're a sweet thing. I saw Brother Tom soon as what Nick and Brittany came walking in the church. He jumped up and ran back there to his eldest son because he loves his eldest son and his newest daughter-in-law so much. He ran back there to them and didn't even speak to them or shake their hands and grabbed that grandbaby and picked it up. Amen. And that's exactly right. And he patted that little baby on the back. And first thing I heard him say, sweet thing, sweet thing. Oh, listen, Brother Tom, if you'll be honest with yourself, and he's sweet to you because you love him. But if you'll be honest with yourself, he's made of the same thing you are, the same thing Nick is, which scares us all to death. I'm not feeling he's got a sinful nature and needs a Savior. But praise God, what he needed, Jesus provided. That's why he needs a Savior. I praise the Lord, we know who that is. And Jesus is truthful with us. He tells us the truth. I'll tell you something else. A man of God who is a preacher. answer of the Word of God is truth for you. He won't tell you you're okay like you are. He won't tell you you're a good little boy and a good little girl and everything's going to be all right. He'll tell you you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Amen. Thank God the Lord didn't spare my feelings, but He's truthful enough to tell me who I really am. He let me know I was a lousy sinner. He let me know I was a lost sinner. He let me know I was lost enough to go to hell. Oh, friend, He said if I was lost enough to go to hell, I was lost enough to go to Him. Amen. I got news for you this morning. You're wondering, is God the Holy Ghost dealing with my heart? You're wondering, is the Lord calling me unto Him to be saved? If He's made you aware enough of how lost you are, that you know you're going to hell, you're aware enough of how lost you are to come to Him. All the Father shall give me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast him out. If you realize you are lost, it's because the Holy Ghost told you that. If you realize you are hell bound, it's because the Holy Ghost told you that. He has the courage to tell you the truth. And if you realize you need to be saved, it's because the Holy Ghost told you that. And that, my friend, if you're lost enough to go to hell, you're lost enough to come to Him.
Amen.
Amen. And He'll tell you the truth. You need to do it now, friend. Only the Lord is truthful enough to tell you when you're a sinner. I got news for you, though. Only the Lord is truthful enough to tell you when you're saved. That preacher bows down beside you and reads you a few verses. Repeat this little prayer. Nothing necessarily wrong with those things. I know I sound overtly critical of it, and I don't mean to. But if that's all you have, you don't have much. And then the preacher looks at you and says, you're saved, everything's all right. Ain't his territory. The preacher didn't save you. See, if the preacher was doing the saving, he could tell you when you were saved. But since salvation's of the Lord, only the Lord's can be truthful enough to tell you when you're saved. He's the one told you when you're lost. He's the one to tell you when you're saved. Only God knows the truth about our salvation, not the preacher. Only God knows the truth about our souls, not our parents. Only God knows the truth about our status, not our peers. The Lord knows your heart. I'm so thankful that God will be truthful and honest with us and let us know if we're saved or if we're lost and if we're right or if we're wrong, and He'll show us that. I talked to a preacher back several years ago, and he said, no, Brother Toby, when I was lost, he said, all the devil did was tell me how saved I was and how I was all right. And he said, ever since I've been saved, all the devil's told me is how lost I was and how I really didn't get saved and how big one big a mess I am. He said, you know, he just likes to lie, don't he? And that's true. No matter what he tells you, it'll be a lie. And friend, he'll tell you when you're lost, you don't need to be saved. And he'll tell you when you get saved that you're not saved. And no matter, you can't make it anyhow, and you might as well give up. Whatever he can do to confuse you. I want to tell you something. If you're a person who doubts your salvation, I want to tell you something that will help you if you'll listen to it this morning. The Lord is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Right. Everybody listening this morning? Amen. The Lord is not the author of confusion. You say, I think I'm doubting my salvation. Well, if you are, the Lord will help you. And He can give you confidence if you'll trust Him. And if you're not saved, He can give you clarity if you'll trust Him. The Lord is not looking to confuse you.
Right.
Anybody listening this morning? Now I want to tell you how to tell the difference. There are people suffering under condemnation. And my friend, then there are people suffering under conviction. And I'm going to tell you the difference of them. Condemnation tells you how low down, no count, good for nothing you are, but it offers no solution. Condemnation says you're sorry and you're going to die like that. And there are a lot of people who are saved that Satan seeks to condemn. He seeks to convince you that you, because of your record, because of your past, because of what you have or have not done, because of all the times that you have not lived for God as you should, that you are no count and will never amount to anything, and that you're going to die the way you are, and there's no need for you to even try. That's condemnation, and it does not come from the Lord. Romans 5:1. It's Romans 8:1. There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's Holy Ghost does not give you condemnation. If this morning all you feel is an overwhelming sense of guilt and depression and disgust and defeat, and you see no way out, God didn't give you that. That's what the devil does to you. He's the accuser. Conviction is different. It also shows you how low down, no count, good for nothing you really are. But the difference is, he didn't leave me the way that he found me. Conviction is not sent to condemn you. And listen to me, lest you think I'm just telling you something sounds good. What did Jesus say about it in John 3:17? He said, for Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When Jesus tells you the truth, you're a sinner. Hey, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. When Jesus tells you the truth, you can't save yourself. You can't get rid of your sin. Hey, you can't do enough to earn heaven as your home. He also tells you the truth. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Difference in condemnation and conviction is condemnation tells you how sorry you are and tells you you can't get out of it. Conviction tells you how sorry you are and lets you know Jesus is your way out. If all I could do this morning was condemn you, fuss at you, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear that come preaching. Amen. Matter of fact, be better off shut the church down and have that kind of preaching. If this morning I can tell you there's hope in Jesus. There's a Savior who's true. And he doesn't tell you how low down, lousy, lost of a sinner that you are because he wants to condemn you. But because he wants to convict you and show you there is a way of deliverance that the world through him might be saved. Amen. You see, you've got a problem. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of the Father. And men will not believe because they've loved darkness rather than light and because their deeds are evil. But if this morning, if you'll get honest with God, just like he's honest with you, and say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. You're the Savior. You're my hope. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. But I'm putting all my confidence in you. He'll save your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
When you get saved, the preacher won't have to tell you you're saved. And the church won't have to tell you you're saved. Your neighbor won't have to tell you you're saved. But the same one that's told you you were lost will tell you you're saved. It'll be the witness of the Holy Spirit done in your heart. And if I didn't believe what I was preaching this morning, I wouldn't preach anything.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost. If I didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't believe in nothing. If I didn't believe in Holy Ghost conviction, I wouldn't believe in Holy Ghost salvation. Somebody say amen, right?
Amen.
The reason why I knew I was lost is the Holy Spirit. The reason why I know I am saved is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He tells us the truth. I've got to finish preaching now. I thought I'd preach short, but I done got on something. There's a rabbit in that hole right there, brother. So thankful that God will be truthful with us. I'm going to tell you something else. When you are saved, the Holy Ghost won't lie to you. You see, he comes to live in us. I'm getting ready for John 16. That is, we've been preaching about these chapters in John, portraits of Jesus in the book of John. In John 16, Jesus is the giver of the Holy Spirit. You realize he's my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He is the giver of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in us, and he lives in me to teach me what's right. And when you are saved, he doesn't tell you lies. The Holy Ghost does not live in your heart to make you feel good all the time about everything, but to lead you and to guide you in all the ways of truth and right. And he doesn't tell you lies. You go somewhere you're not supposed to go, you're saved, and you're going somewhere you're not supposed to go, the Holy Ghost will let you know down on the inside. You're saying things you ought not to say, the Holy Ghost will tell you the truth down inside. You're living in a way you ought not to live, the Holy Ghost will convict you down on the inside. And if you feel and sense and know that conviction, and you ignore it and you do wrong, that is sin.
Yes.
Sin. The Lord didn't tell you that was wrong just because he wanted to talk about something. He's not just telling you something other was wrong just on account he wants you to feel bad. It's because it's sin. I'll tell you something else. And I'm preaching part of my next message, but I just got to say while I'm here, it's important. The Holy Spirit knows you better than you know yourself. And some of you, he knows you can't do some things. Your nature will not agree with it. Some people, God cannot give them money. He knows that. God knows that. Some people can't have a certain job. They won't withstand it. They're not cut out for it. They can't handle it. Won't be good for them. Some people can't be a member of the country club. They get too easily carried away with stuff other people have and put too much emphasis on trying to be like them. They're too easily slaved with peer pressure. God's got to keep you out of that atmosphere. And it's not because a country club or a certain job or some money is sinful. It's because the Lord knows what you're made of, and he's going to tell you the truth. Some people can't shop at the fancy stores. God has to put you at Dollar General because that's what you can handle. I guess it's what I can handle because that's where I spend more of my time shopping than anywhere else. Tractor Supply, hallelujah for the Tractor Supply. Amen. I go in some of these stores and I don't understand half of what these young people say, like. But I go in a Tractor Supply and there's a man in there with boots on and I understand what he says. God knows who I am. He knows what I can handle. Let me tell you something else. God knows what kind of, I'm going to preach to a preacher just a minute. God knows what kind of church you can pastor. Amen. I'm not jealous of anybody's church anywhere. If I was to be in the wrong place, there's no telling how miserable my life would be. But God knows what I can handle. He knows me better than I know myself. This morning, what I'm saying is, instead of being upset that God tells you the things he does, you ought to realize he's right. And he's telling you the truth. And instead of bucking it, you ought to yield to it. Matter of fact, you ought to be thankful for it. I thank the Lord for all the times he's told me no. Hallelujah. He spared me a lot of trouble by telling me no. I'm finished preaching. Come on with a song, please. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Thank him because he's truthful this morning. It sure is hard to offer praises and thanks to God when your heart's not right with God. If your heart's not right with God, you ought to come get it right this morning. If your heart is right with God, you ought to come to the altar and offer sincere, heartfelt gratitude and praise and thankfulness for him being trustworthy, true, thoughtful, and truthful. For some of you, it's a strange thing what I'm about to say. Here we are, 3 days removed from Thanksgiving, And for some of you still, it's been a very long time since you sincerely thanked the Lord the way you should about anything and everything. We ate turkey till we laid down in the recliner and wallered. Watched football. Went to shopping centers. Complained about politics and fussed with that grumpy uncle. But we failed to thank the Lord. I mean, really, from our hearts. Not just for everything He's done, but for who He is. I've preached what the Lord's put on my heart and lots more of it than I thought it would. Everybody stand. I wonder, would you be obedient to the Lord this morning? I don't thank God He tells me the truth. He tells me when I'm a whiner and a complainer. When I didn't give Him my best, He's honest with me. When I come short of the glory of God, He don't tell me it's all right. When I try hard and other people criticize us, He's honest with me then too. I thank God that I know Him. Sing for us when you're ready to sing. People need to pray this morning. Be obedient to the Lord. I've given you what God's put on my heart.
You rise up from your bed and you start to look ahead at the dawn.
It's a good thing to give thanks.
Of another day.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me.
There are problems to
thank
be
you for Calvary.
Met. Promises
thank
that
you
must
for the blood
be
that you shed.
Kept. And you know that there is no delay.
Thank you for the
There's
sweet Holy Spirit.
There's decisions that won't wait any longer. But you know that now you have no time to think them over.
Would you be obedient to the Lord this morning?
Still no matter come what may, you must face the coming.
Think that means there's no consequence. If you'll be real honest with yourself, often, not sometimes, often, there are things that you know in your heart through the witness of the Holy Spirit as a saved person that you're doing that's just not 100% right. Things you ought not to tell. Things you ought not to do. Habits you ought to got shed out a long time ago. And you ignore the voice of the Lord do them anyway. And it'll push you away from God and fellowship with the Lord. Put enmity between you and God. If you want to have the warmth and fellowship with God that you ought to have, it's more than one of the most important things you can do is to begin to agree with Him. Stop fighting Him. Be thankful that He told you the truth. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.